Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Ominous Omens here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, we are. Once again, our friends at the Washington Post Style Invitational have hit the nail on the head. This time they asked their readers for, get this, sure signs that it's time for a new car.
They interview you?
It's never time for a new car for me. But here are some other people's responses. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
It might be time for a new car if your current one is worth less than the bribe you have to pay to get the inspection sticker. That's from Chris Doyle.
Oh, it's good.
Here's another one from Ira Allen. It might be time for a new car if it is your father's Oldsmobile. It might be time for a new car, say, Jim McClellan and Russ Taylor, if your mechanic has to use his connections in Havana to get parts.
That's sad. That is sad.
It might be time for a new car if the panhandle is at red lights, slip dollar bills in your window. It's from Tom Murphy.
Yeah, I guess the cash is supposed to flow in the other direction.
The other direction. Yeah. Okay, and here's the last one. Barbara Turner says, it might be time for a new car if the OnStar lady keeps directing you toward a ravine.
Well, they missed an opportunity to say it. It might be time for a new car if you've called Car Talk 3 weeks in a row. Anyway, if you've got some other sure signs that it's time for a new car, share them with us at cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you still need your old car, we're going to try to help you out. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Henry calling from Albany, California. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Henry.
Henry, what's going on, man?
Did you say Albany?
Yeah, Albany.
Is that like Albany?
It's the city in the Bay Area across the bay from San Francisco.
But it's spelled like Albany, New York.
Oh, yes, it is.
But it's pronounced Albany.
Yeah, it's Albany.
Albany.
Well, how come the people in New York pronounce it Albany?
Well, we're in California. We're always right.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That straightened me out.
So what's going on, Henry?
Well, I'm calling because I have a 2000 Camry, and it's a great car, runs great, has about 89,000 miles on it. The only thing that's wrong with it is that every morning when I cold start the car, I get this black plume of smoke that comes out of my exhaust, and it only lasts about 30 to 45 seconds. And it's been going on for probably 3 or 4 years, actually.
So you just get around to calling us now.
Well, the reason I'm calling you now is because recently I sort of gassed my neighbor, and she hasn't talked to me since.
Is she unconscious or what?
Well, she used to give me brownies and cookies and things. We used to have good conversations going to the cars. But last month we were going down to work, and I told her, have a great day. I get in my car, and she's loading her groceries into her car or whatever it is.
Oh, and you smoked her.
Exactly. In my rearview mirror, I could see this cloud of smoke just envelop her completely. Oh. And she's there gagging away and trying to wave the smoke out. And from that moment on, she's never talked to me ever since.
Is this smoke more likely gray than black?
It's a pretty dark gray.
Pretty dark gray.
Yeah.
Is the check engine light on?
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah, and I've been getting normal oil changes, and I check my oil regularly. It's been years, but since it's never really been a problem for me, I just kind of left it.
How many miles a year do you drive this thing, typically?
10,000 to 12,000.
Huh.
Do they still do a smog test in California?
Yeah, they do. I just had one done a few months ago, and it's
fine.
And
you passed?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to disbelieve you, but I don't think what's coming out of the tailpipe is soot.
Okay.
Because if it were soot and it was really black,
it would last more than 10 seconds.
Well, not only that, but it would also have set a check engine light.
Oh, okay.
So I think that that's maybe not what's going on, but rather you're burning oil. And that's really consistent. Lots of cars for those 30 seconds that you start them up in the morning will blow out a plume of very dark smoke.
Uh-huh.
But you claim that you've been checking the oil and you're never down anything?
No, never.
No, you don't have to be down because you're only burning a little
it's
bit of oil.
It's not enough, yeah.
You're only burning 30 seconds worth of oil, and you're burning it off the cylinder walls, and it goes away as soon as the engine warms up and the pistons expand. I think you're getting that little bit of oil burning, and that oil, if you think about it, might be have a little tinge of blue in it. And you know, I know you're saying you're shaking.
Yeah, I only see it off the, out of the
you
rearview
only see
mirror
it through the
car.
Mirror. If someone else started your car and you stood there, mm-hmm. you'd get the full view of what
yeah. Listen,
it is.
When they let the neighbor out of the hyperbaric chamber and she recovers and she's speaking to you again,
yeah.
then you
ask
can,
her to start the car.
Yeah, you can go ahead and she can start. Or you can ask her. So what was the last thing you remembered before the ambulance took you away? You know, so
and she'll say this blue black stuff came into my mouth.
Every time I get back from work and she's in the parking lot, she tries to fiddle around in her car, and I think she's taking fake phone calls and things, everything to keep from having to walk to the elevator with me and ride up with me.
Oh, so she's avoiding
you. So if I ever see her again.
Yeah, well, you might have to break the ice with some flowers or a gas mask. So you don't have to be burning any oil to speak mm-hmm. of to get this, you know, 30 seconds of smoke.
Okay, but so is this something that requires a mechanic to fix, or can I just leave it alone?
Well,
you're not going to fix that.
No, you're not going to fix that. You just got to make sure that she's not around when you start the car up.
No, that's what I want to hear.
But you may want to take it someplace okay. and leave it overnight, because it's going to do this only when the engine is started cold.
Okay.
And you're going to have to leave it someplace and have them analyze it, and they'll say, oh, yeah, Henry, you're burning some oil.
Okay, sounds good. Well, as long as it's safe, I don't mind losing more neighbors.
All right. See you, Henry.
All right, love your show. Thank you.
Thanks
See
for
you
calling.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Who's this?
I don't know. What did I call? Something about a restitution on a 67 Camaro. You guys are looking for a Jim Parker from Brentwood, Long Island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that you?
That's us.
Us? There's two of you?
That's us. Well, they could be sometimes.
Well,
it depends.
I should fill our listeners in.
Yeah.
I'll start at the very beginning. I had been at a birthday celebration for my son where we, by mistake, ate a birthday cake that belonged to an old woman at the table next to us, maybe celebrating her last birthday. Who knows?
Who knows?
And we wolfed down this chocolate mousse cake, and we felt real bad about it.
Yeah, so, you asked the guys at the restaurant, do you have cake? And they said yes.
Yeah, and it didn't matter to us that it said Happy Birthday Grammy on it. We ate the thing anyway. So that kind of spawned a whole bunch of people writing to us because they wanted to clear their conscience. I wanted to clear my conscience about having that cake and hope that I could make restitution. And
yeah.
then we get a letter from your friend, and his name was Greg Shaw. And Greg Shaw said he thinks, he wasn't sure, but he thinks he was instrumental, I don't know if that was the right word, in burning up a car that belonged to a friend named Jim Parker.
Oh, that's who this guy is.
is that who you is?
That's who I is.
and he thinks, he says, he dropped a cigarette.
But there's no thinking.
We all
knew back then that he did it. He just didn't want to fess up.
But you knew he did it.
Oh, yeah. Myself and another guy, Jim, I was driving. There was another guy in the front seat. He was in the back. And I remember seeing all the ashes come back in the car, and I basically told him, so hope you don't set fire to my car. And next thing you know, about 4 hours later, while I'm sleeping off a night of drinking back then, I get a knock on the door from the police and the fire department saying, do you own or used to own a 67 Camaro?
Did you used to own?
That happened to me once. So did it burn to a crisp, Jim?
Yeah, it was pretty much done. It was a done deal. It was nice. It was a 327 cubic inch with it was burgundy. It's funny because here we are 30 years later, and the statute of limitations for arson in New York has expired, and it's ironic that I'm a police officer now on Long Island.
So. Oh, really? So do you know where Greg Shaw lives?
If I wanted to find out where he is, I could probably find out. But
yeah, you have your ways, don't you?
No. I understand he was a little you know, like people tried to reach out to him. All I got to say is, Greg, don't worry about it. It's so far in the past. I didn't even realize it until somebody at work while I was working came up to me and said, hey, that's funny. This guy's on Car Talk. I was talking about this guy from Jim Parker from Long Island. I'm like, get out of here. Next thing I know, I pop up on the website and I went, oh, boy, there it is.
Well, so you have not seen Greg for many years?
Oh, yeah. He was last thing I remember, he was in Houston, Texas back in the 80s. He went to some Ivy League school, I won't say, and he's probably making a good living now, probably better than I am.
So he wouldn't mind then Now, by the way, this Camaro, this 67 Camaro, if you still had it, which of course you would have.
Of course, of course.
is probably worth, you know, about 50 G's now.
I don't know. I mean, you guys put it in my head when I heard the radio cast on the computer. I'm like,
Jim, we don't want to start any trouble here. We don't want to cause any problems, start any trouble. We don't want to rekindle, no pun intended.
Absolutely. There's no lawsuit coming down the works. Even if you can call me, it's fine. Everything's fine. I'm not.
We'll tell Greg to call you because I think it's time for you two to reconnect. And if he came with a check for 50 G's, that would be even better, right?
Is there a finder's fee for car talk or no?
Yeah, no fee. Well, Jim, a pleasure talking to you, and I'm glad you got over it. How long did it take you to get over it, though?
Oh, no, really not that long.
What, 6 years?
Whatever you want me to say. Yeah, it took 30 years to get over. It's such a heartbreak. I mean, I love that car. Yeah.
That's it. It took 30 years. You've suffered mental
years.
Anguish. You've been on a psychiatrist's couch. I think you ought to bring you a check for $150. All right, we'll work on them. Don't worry. Leave it in our hands.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot.
see you later, Jim.
Bye-bye.
He's a good sport. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. You never know who you're going to reach out to when your name is mentioned on Car Talk.
Especially when you've set a car on fire.
Yeah, those things aren't easily forgotten.
No.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Melanie. I'm calling from Canaan, Connecticut. Not New Canaan, Canaan.
Just plain old Canaan.
Plain old Canaan, the northern land.
Oh, can we call you Mel, or must we call you Melanie?
I would like it if you called me Melanie.
Melanie.
So you've never had a nickname?
Yeah, I've had a few.
But we can't discuss them on the air.
No, we won't talk about it.
All right. And so from Canaan, Connecticut.
What do you got for a car?
Okay. I've got a Volvo 850. It's a 1997 station wagon, automatic. It's got 158,000 miles on it, and I am having a constant battle with there's no power steering. I mean, it used to have power steering, and now it's like it likes to go straight, and then I have to beg it and force it. It's like fighting with a freaking teenager or something to get it, like, go to the right. No, I want to go to the left. No, I'm going straight. And it's I've checked the fluid. I've checked the belts. You know, they're attached. They're moving.
So let me find out from you what I think is happening is that it's difficult to turn the wheel. Is that true?
It's beyond difficult. It's like it's a serious. I'm getting an upper body workout.
So to park the car, for example, would require. But when you're moving at high speed,
it's still hard. It'll like zoom, like go to it, like in a moment after like struggling with it a little, and then it's like almost overcompensating.
Right, because it sounds like you need the pump.
Yeah,
because the pump isn't producing enough pressure.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and when it does periodically produce pressure, it'll go from being very difficult to steer, and you're forcing the steering wheel, and all of a sudden, it's very easy to steer, so you oversteer then.
So then how would I be able to check the pump?
Well, you can't check the pump per se. You have to take it to a shop, and they'll put a pressure tester on it and determine if the pump is putting out sufficient pressure. It could also be the rack and pinion. And at 158,000...
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be driving this thing. I mean, this is very, very dangerous.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and finally I talked to my husband, you know, I'm like, honey, does this feel difficult to steer? Well, you know, it's just the car. And then finally I was like, I'm calling Car Talk.
Yeah.
So yesterday evening he's got the car jacked up. He's looking underneath.
Oh, so he's checking it out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should take it to the shop. You're going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah, you're going to have to spend some money.
They're going to determine that it's probably both pieces. But at the very least, it's one or the other. I mean, there's a small chance that it's something like a ball joint that's bound up or a tire end, but that's a 1 in 1,000 chance. The more likely possibility on an 850 is that the pump is gone.
Okay. And how much is can I get them, like, from the junkyard?
Yeah, you can.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
At the very least, you're looking at several hundred dollars.
Oh, my Lord.
And if you had to do the rack, you're probably looking, or both, you might be looking at well over 1,000.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I know, but you have no choice. The car is dangerous.
Well, you know, one day it, like, automatically, I mean, it was pouring rain out and get in the car, and, you know, it wasn't as bad as it is now. And then all of a sudden it was fine. But then, like, a few days later, it went back again.
You know what you should try, Melanie? You should try one of those additives that you add to the power steering fluid.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of them grow hair and everything. I mean, you can get, it depends what you get. But you can get one that, you know, stops leaks, renews the power steering pump.
Oh, my God.
You know,
alrighty.
Expands seals. Who knows what's wrong with this? But if your goal
clean
is to...
clean my house and do my laundry.
Exactly. If your goal is to get another few thousand miles out of this thing and drive it safely,
yeah.
you can try those additives. And one of them may fix it. You could also have it, you could take it to a shop, get it diagnosed,
yeah.
and have them drain out the old fluid,
okay,
or flush it out, rather,
yeah.
put new fluid in, put the additive in, and you hope for the best.
All right.
And if that doesn't work, then at
and
least you'll know.
Let them test drive it, not you.
Right.
Okay.
You stay in the waiting room. Listen yeah. for the crash. See ya.
Oh, my God.
See ya,
so
Melanie.
Much, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
All right. It's time for me to ask if you remember last week's puzzler, Tommy.
Yeah, well, that must mean it's time for me to say, no, what's it to you, pal?
Okay, doke. Why don't I just go ahead and remind you what the puzzler was about?
What a sound? Great idea.
Well, here we go. The puzzler was about a guy who bought a new car and had to figure out how to get it home.
Ah. Happens to me all the time. I always have to get someone to tow my new car's home.
No, this wasn't one of your heats. This was a legit new car. You know, a brand new one that actually started and
a
ran.
A brand new car.
Yeah, and I'll have the whole story along with more of your calls in just a minute. So please stay tuned.
The black limousine pulls up the street. The flash bulbs are popping and the girls are freaking out while he walks out to the plane and head for the VIP fast lane. He knows the supermodels and the airline brass. He sits and reads the paper while they take his coat, while me and my kids watch him back in coach. Cause I'm a minivan troubadour, watching the world go by through sliding doors. Can you hear the rock star while he snores? Cause I'm a minivan.
And even though the RCA dog barks and bares his teeth at the speaker whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this came in from someone named John Kelly. True story, he writes. While living in the Bronx, a friend who shall remain nameless, i.e. John Kelly, probably, bought a brand new car from a dealership in White Plains, a suburb about 21 miles north of where he lived. He didn't have anyone to help him pick up the new car, so he decided to do it all by himself. Because he wasn't trading in the old car, he came up with this ingenious plan. I use the word ingenious liberally. He drove his old car 21 miles north and parked it in the dealer's lot, paid for the new car, and got the keys. He then drove the new car 1 mile south, got out, locked it up, walked back north 1 mile to the dealership, picked up his old car, and drove it 2 miles south. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
He locked up the old car, walked back north 1 mile, unlocked his new car, drove it 2 miles south, et cetera, leapfrogging the two cars until he reached home with both of them. Pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
Well, the question is this. At the end of his very, very, very long day, how many total miles did he travel between walking and driving?
400 miles each way.
Well, he clearly walked 21 miles, right? It would be the equivalent if he had driven up there with his old car.
And just walked
and just,
back.
And just driven the new car home and then walked back up there. He just did it in 1 mile increments.
Yeah.
Right? He walked 21 miles. So he drove the new car back 21 miles.
Yeah.
He drove the old car back 21 miles. Right?
Yeah.
So most people say that's 63 total miles. Wrong answer. Everyone forgets the 21 miles he drove to get up there.
Ah!
So he drove 21 miles to get to the dealership.
All right.
And then drove two cars back 21 miles, each.
42.
Which is another 42
and
miles.
21.
Which makes 63, and then 21 that he walked, 84 miles. No wonder. It took him all day. Was he crazy? So who's our winner?
The winner is Timothy Reed from Juneau, Alaska. And for having his answer selected at random from the pile of correct answers that we got, Timothy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our brand new 4-CD set called Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
You know, we've realized that over time, we have assembled perhaps the world's most definitive collection of tape recordings of the prized North American Wacko. And we thought it was time to publish our results.
Right. And this set includes the specimen we call Adrian. Adrian decided to surprise her husband on his birthday by bringing him 600 pounds of rocks in his Saab.
So he got 600 pounds of rocks and a bill for a new suspension system. Good work, Adrian.
Anyway, this 4-CD collection, Field Guide to the North American Wacko, is yours, Timothy, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
And if your name is not Timothy Reed and you didn't win this week, stay tuned because we have a new Puzzler that's coming up in the third half of the show. But in the meantime, we'll take your car questions, as always, at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michal, and I'm calling from Berkeley, California.
Ah, what's your first name again?
Michal, like Taj Mahal.
Got it.
Really? What kind of name is that?
It's actually a biblical name.
Yes.
Michal was married to David in the Bible before he met Bathsheba.
Ah.
Oh.
So she was the wronged woman.
Oh, the poor thing.
Michal was the wronged woman.
She was.
How are you making out?
And why did your mother want to name you after a wronged woman?
It's a long story.
We don't want to know it.
No, we might want to know it, but it is interesting that your mother should have named you Michal.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's like another show.
All right. What's going on?
Well, my problem is a disagreement that I'm having with my partner about his driving.
Uh-huh.
You have to understand the context of this. First of all, he's from New York. And he's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Right away, we're in your camp.
Okay, good. See, yeah. I knew.
So he's got to go a long way. But yeah. There's always hope. Let's hear the story.
So here's the deal that we're having. The disagreement we're having is with the proper use of turn signals. When we're on a surface street and he's driving, doesn't matter if he's driving his car or my car, you know, either one, and we're going down the street and he wants to change lanes, he always uses his turn signal to indicate he's going to change lanes, so which is great, right? That's
yes.
What you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yes.
But when we're on a freeway going like 80 miles an hour or there's like kind of a traffic jam and he's zipping in and out of lanes to try to get in the best lane,
then he doesn't
never
use it.
Never, ever uses it.
Well, you know why? He's too busy.
Well, his explanation is that, you know, he's a great driver and he's never had an accident. And because I watch all around me all the time, I don't have to use signals. And I'm like, you're nuts. You're going 80 miles an hour. Are you crazy? And I just figured this must be a guy thing that maybe you guys could help me figure out because I just do not get this.
I don't have directional signals on my car.
And he never drives fast enough to change lanes. He's always in the right lane. Or at more appropriately, the breakdown lane. When you're in the breakdown lane, you ain't cutting anyone off. I think he doesn't want to tip anyone off that he's changing lanes.
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, is this like, are you worried people are going to sneak up on you or try to cut you off? And he's like, no, I just can always tell when I can switch lanes and I don't have to. But I'm thinking, don't you want to tell the people around you what you're doing?
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when he's doing what he's doing in the second case, zapping in and out,
right,
he doesn't have time to put on the blinkers.
Right. He's just trying to get over.
Right. You know, as a city boy, he is not accustomed to driving 80 miles an hour on the highway. If he's a New York City guy.
Well, actually, he's not from New York City. He's from Spring Valley. So he grew up in the country with a town of 2,000. So maybe that, I never thought about that, but maybe that's part of it. He grew up on country roads.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think when he got to New York, everything changed.
Maybe. But I have a feeling that he's just, I mean, we could look at the dark side of it and say, well, he doesn't, you know, he's trying to just get a competitive edge on everybody. But I don't think so.
I don't think so
either. I think
either.
He's just so absorbed and so taken with the whole idea of driving 80 miles an hour on the California freeways. He hasn't got time to process cutting people off and using the turn signal at the same time.
Yeah, he's got too much to do.
But, like, don't you think that's dangerous? Like, shouldn't
it's dangerous.
Oh, good. I can tell them that?
Oh, no, and it's also a summonsable offense.
Right.
So he could get a ticket.
Well, the other thing is that just because he's watching them doesn't mean that he knows what's in their mind, right? They could be doing the same crazy thing he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, right, and the signal is designed to alert other drivers that you're doing something that may or may not be crazy, but you are intending upon changing lanes.
That's what I keep telling him. So now I can tell him that you guys agree?
And he's doing
he should be using the blinkers.
He's endangering everybody by not using the signals. He may be endangering people by what he's doing in general, but he's further endangering everybody by not using the signal, because at least he will be alerting people that there's a wacko that's going to do something. Oh, you know, I know what he's doing. He just doesn't want to draw attention to himself.
No, I don't think he wants to let anybody know what he's doing so he can sneak into some
That's exactly
spot.
What he's doing. He doesn't He doesn't want anyone to know what he's up to, and he just kind of slithers in and out.
Right.
You know, I think we have forgotten that he's a lawyer. He is driving, doing the same techniques he would use in court.
Mikhail, what?
Never let them know where you're going.
What kind of lawyering does he do?
He does, like, transactional law, mergers and acquisitions, businesses, contracts, negotiations.
Yeah.
What year BMW does he have?
Well, he actually doesn't. He has, like, a banged-up CRV, and my car, of course, is scratchless, because I don't do this kind of crazy stuff. Now, he didn't bang it up by doing that. He banged up by running into a tree, backing up into a tree. So it wasn't the... But he does... I mean, this is only one of the few crazy things that he does when he drives. He also doesn't, like, stop until he's, like, three feet, behind the other car.
Oh, yeah. No, he's nuts.
Well, I think you are correct in advising him to use the directional signals.
But how am I going to convince him? He just ignores me. Can I, like,
We have to talk to him.
Well, I'll have to. So if he doesn't listen to me, I'll call you back.
Absolutely.
Call back on Tom's private number. I'll give you his number off the air. You can call him. We'll talk privately.
Okay, that'd be great.
We'll shape him up.
Well, thank you for validating me, because I've been arguing with him for 5 years over this.
No, I can tell this is a considerable source of anguish.
I feel like I have to get a blindfold every time I get in the car.
Oh, no, you're going to have a heart attack driving with this guy. You are a safe driver, and he is a nut job.
Well, there is one tiny little kind of point in his favor, is that he's never had an accident, and I have, but it wasn't my fault.
Oh, no, our sister's never had an accident, but she sure has caused a lot of them. He may be in that category.
Okay, that's good to know.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Howdy, this is Tim calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hey, Tim, that's my name, too.
How about that?
Hey, Tim. What's up, man?
All right, well, I have a car that apparently is possessed.
Ah.
The idle goes up pretty high at random times, and it even accelerates on its own at random times. The car is a 2001 Chevy Malibu, and it actually belongs to my fiancé.
Ah.
I've been charged with trying to fix it before the wedding.
So at random times, it starts revving very fast?
Correct. The RPMs will shoot way up at just random times. And then at other times, it would sort of just accelerate on its own. I remember being stopped actually going uphill, and I took my foot off the brake, and the car just kind of went up the hill on its own. Got up to about 40 miles an hour, actually.
Wow.
But we took it to two different mechanics, and they could never duplicate the problem, and it never happened when they were using it. So I think the car's mocking me.
Uh-huh.
Did they check it for codes?
They did the second time, and they said that some kind of code came back about the sensor, so they replaced the throttle sensor.
Okay.
And everything seemed fine, and then it just happened again, actually, yesterday.
Oh, so they thought it was the throttle position sensor, maybe.
That was it, yep.
Yeah.
They still, the mechanics still look at me kind of out of sides of their eyes, because they can't get the same thing to happen when they drive it, so.
But it was enough to take you up the hill.
It took us up the hill, yeah, at about 40 miles an hour. We kind of cruised around town without touching the gas.
That's kind of, pretty good.
Yeah.
when it has done it, have you ever just taken your foot off the gas, put it in neutral, obviously, and try to punch the gas to get it to come down?
No, I haven't tried that.
Really?
Take it into neutral, you mean?
Yeah,
just...
put the transmission in neutral so you're not going to make the car go faster by stepping hard on the pedal.
Right.
But basically, you're going to punch the pedal, and you hit it quickly, and then take your foot off. I mean, the idea is maybe the throttle is just sticking.
And if it is, when you do this, it'll unstick.
Or get worse.
At least temporarily.
I mean, if there's a lot of carbon, one of the problems with, that modern cars have is a lot of carbon buildup in the throttle plate area. So it's possible that the it's just plain old-fashioned sticking.
Stuck.
You know, so, and I think a lot of mistakes that, that shops make are they overlook the stuff that's traditionally gone wrong with cars and immediately begin to look for an electronic solution.
Mm-hmm.
They plug the scanner in and they say, oh, the TPS is, you know. Well, it turns out it may have set the TPS code because the TPS is sending a signal to the computer that's telling it that the engine RPM is too high because of the fact that the throttle stuck.
So it might not be a sensor or computer problem, but just some mechanical
thing. Could be some mechanical problem. So I would have them, at the very least, clean the throttle.
Clean throttle.
And by the way, I mean, if the car ever starts to go out of control when, you know, like because it's revving too high, put the thing in put it in
right.
neutral.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the very old days, if you did that, if let's say your throttle was stuck wide open. In the old days, if you did that, you'd blow the engine because old engines weren't smart enough to govern themselves and to shut down at high speeds.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing would go what's called to the red line, which is the, you know, in the forbidden zone.
Sure.
It's the engine speed that it shouldn't go beyond. And then if the throttle were to stay open, it would continue to go beyond the red line, and eventually the engine would fly apart.
Mm-hmm.
But modern engines don't do that. You can't do that to a modern engine. If you floored the gas without a load on it, it would get to a certain RPM, and then it would basically shut down.
It hasn't been dangerous yet, so but yeah, we knew to throw it in neutral in case it
got
really
high. Well, it is dangerous. I mean, if it's going to get you going 40 miles an hour up a hill.
Take it back to these guys.
Or take it
to somebody before it kills you.
Well, you know, the Pope was in town. I tried to call him, but, you know, I think he was busy. So
we were the second choice?
Yeah, you guys were the high priest of automobiles.
All right.
Here, so.
Well, good luck, Tim.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, man.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is JJ from Navarre Beach, Florida.
From
JJ.
Navarre, N-E-V-A-R?
R-R-E.
N-E-V-A-R-R-E. Where, pray tell, is Navarre Beach?
That's on Santa Rosa Island out of Pensacola.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
She's all places I've never been to before. Pensacola.
Oh, the water's beautiful today.
Yeah, the water's beautiful here today, too, as long as you're not in it.
Oh.
And it won't be for a few months. Anyway, JJ, what's going on?
Well, I have a Boxster S04.
Okay.
Porsche.
Yes.
And I tell you, I just love it, and it makes me smile every time I drive it, but I'm having a problem when I, even at slow speeds, if I'm braking, it goes swish, 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 and it vibrates the brake.
Yeah, because you have warped disc rotors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even though you're probably, you're not a speed demon, I get the feeling that you're a pretty careful driver, huh?
Well, I really am, especially because I live around a lot of national park area, and 45 is usually the limit. But when I travel out in Wyoming, then I can go 80.
You go crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you do go 80 and you step on the brakes, it must feel like the whole car is vibrating.
I have never taken it that way because this hasn't been going on that long.
All right. Well, if you were, you'd find out that the thing would feel like it's shaking itself to death. So you have to immediately get it to a repair shop and have them either resurface the disc rotors or replace them.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you think that before I go out west and get over those passes, I should be getting it?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be going down any of those mountains with these brakes. Absolutely not.
And you can't just spray them with WD-40 or anything?
No. No.
These are things that have worn away, and you got to replace them.
Right. Oh. And not only have they worn away, but they've also warped the disc rotors, which is what happens just as a natural consequence of aging.
Oh.
You know.
So it may cost you a few hundred to do this.
Oh, many hundreds.
I'll have to save up my piggy bank.
All right. See you, JJ.
Okay, thanks much.
Bye-bye. Hey, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
How do you always know exactly when it's time for a break?
It's actually pretty easy. I just keep count of how many wrong answers we've given. And after like three or four, we stop, take a break, and make sure our errors and omissions policy is still in full force. You know?
All right. Well, when we come back, what kind of new puzzler will you have for us?
Ah, I'm glad you asked. Because the new puzzler is from my brand new Hawaiian Luau Celebration Series.
Okie dokie. We'll have the new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stick around.
300 miles to Winnemucca. I drive a van, I'm no trucker. Driving me across the basin. It ain't pretty, that's what I'm saying. Pass wind over to Pecan Pass. Right past where you can rent a last. On to Elko, moving fast. I got my fingers crossed the clear weather will last. I got the I-80 blues, yeah, I got the I-80 blues, I got the I-80 blues, yeah, the I-80 blues.
And even though Lance Armstrong flings a box of yellow bracelets at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new puzzler, which is from my, I think I said, Hawaiian Luau celebration. Well, this the kernel of this puzzler was sent in by a fellow named Butch Guest, and
you rewrote it.
He gave me permission to.
He did. Excellent. Yeah.
Well, it's been a well-kept secret, but there exists a Car Talk social club, which has 500 members in it now, active members. We used to have 5,000, but we've had a little problem attracting members lately. And that 500 includes all of our friends and family members and a few ex-wives and whatnot. Anyway, for our upcoming celebration this year, our annual celebration, we are going to have, as usual, our Hawaiian Luau Lasagna and Lambada Extravaganza, right? And we decided for new members, those who have been members for less than a year, in order to get them to attend, that we would offer tickets at a discount and that we would charge $14 a ticket for any of those new members who wanted to come.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
But long-term members will be charged $20 each for their tickets, right?
Wow.
Because, well, we're not going to...
Yeah.
You know, they're members.
14 is just to suck in new people.
Exactly. You know, right.
I know how to
now,
do it, yeah.
Not surprisingly, all the new members buy those $14 tickets. Well, they just didn't know any better. But only 70% of the long-term members fork over the $20, cheapskates.
Wow.
Now, here's the deal. You don't know how many new members or long-term members there are. I didn't divulge it. I just said we have 500 overall members.
Yeah.
But you can figure out how much money we collected.
I can?
if you were paying attention.
Are you talking to me?
So the new members paid $14, right?
Yeah.
And the old members were asked to pay $20.
Yeah.
We don't know how many of each there are, but only 70% of the old members decided to pay up.
Yeah.
Right? So 70% of the old members showed up.
Yeah.
30% didn't show up of the old members.
Yeah.
And all of the new members, those who had been a member for a year or less, showed up. The question is, how much money did we collect? Now, if you think you know the answer,
wow,
pay attention now.
Yeah.
Etch it onto the underside of a John Deere X729 Ultimate lawn tractor with 27 horsepower V-twin liquid-cooled i-torque power system. Full-time four-wheel drive, of course, cast iron, shock-resistant front axle, four-wheel steering, cruise control, 62-inch mower deck, mulching attachment, and a tanning spray pod for full-body application of deep woods off. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Wow. Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Yeah, right now, if you have a car question for us, so we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi,
from
Lisa.
Seattle. What's up?
I'm calling about my 2000 Passat / spaceship.
Space? Uh-oh.
When you start the Passat, it sounds like a spaceship. Or a UFO, more.
Really?
It's like,
Oh, I like it. It's got that little tremolo at the end.
Yeah,
Yes. Yeah, let's, and
Could you do it, also, do it again? Do it again. You did it so well.
Okay.
Oh, so it sounds like...
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It stops when you start to drive the car.
Oh, once you get moving, it stops.
Yes,
but... will it continue if you let the car just run in park? I'm assuming it's an automatic?
Yes, it is.
Okay, if you stay in park and the engine is running, will it make that woo sound the whole time, or is it short-lived?
It might last a little while, but it won't keep going all day.
What's the longest it's lasted?
Oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes maybe.
Really?
You've actually sat in the car and revved it up and sat there for 5 minutes?
We're trying to figure out what's wrong with the car.
Ah, of course.
So while this was happening, did anyone try to drain your blood? Because that's what aliens would do if they had you, right? Oh. They would take you into their chambers. So maybe when this is happening, you're being teleported.
Whoa.
So it makes this woo 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 woo.
That sounds more like the Three Stooges.
I know. I realized that about midway through it. You do it. You do it, Lisa. Let's hear you do it. All right, I like
it. But as you're driving, it doesn't do this.
The spaceship noise does stop. However, when you stop, like at a stoplight, for example, then you're experiencing a surging. It's not really violent, but it's definitely surging. Like,
That's a vital piece of information.
That's good.
Yes, and so I'm putting it in neutral to try to subside that, and it works somewhat. When the car's in neutral, it's not convulsing as much.
Does it seem to run, other than these two minor little defects, and they are minor, I believe, does it seem to run well?
Yes.
And
it's smooth when it starts off and everything.
And at 30 miles an hour and speeds beyond that, you have no sounds and no sense that there's anything. There's no imminent disaster looming.
No.
See how most people are just unaware that the end is a... Okay, so you haven't had anyone look at this thing, obviously.
Yeah, we have, actually. We took it to a few people, two mechanics, and they both saw it was probably the secondary air pump. So we had that replaced, but it is still blasting off.
Yeah, I'd rather think it's a vacuum leak.
Oh,
and
okay.
A vacuum leak, and it could be any place. It could be in the intake manifold. It could be in one of the many hoses that run to the intake manifold that supply vacuum to various devices, like, for example, the power brake booster. And if there is a vacuum leak, it'll at one time create this noise, and it's also causing the surging.
Okay.
It's because the computer is getting confused because air is coming in from someplace where it shouldn't be. It's getting into the cylinders, and it's screwing up everything. And it's changing the fuel-air ratio, and as such, it's causing the engine to go up, down, up, down, up, down, because sometimes it's getting too little air, and sometimes it's getting too much air, and the idle speed surges. And you can ameliorate that situation by putting it in park or neutral, because when you do that, it's less likely to surge as much because you've raised the engine RPM.
But you've taken it to people, and they've listened to it, and they did not suggest it was a vacuum leak, huh?
They were both telling us secondary air pump, so we were optimistically believing them, and we had it replaced.
So how much did that cost?
Oh, probably about $600.
Yeah, and when it didn't fix it, what did you do?
We thought, what now? Maybe a little car talk in our lives.
Oh, really? Jeez. You know, you guys, I think you're not drinking enough coffee out in Seattle. Our customers would have been back like...
plenty of it.
They would, before they got to the end of the street.
Yeah,
they would have slammed the thing in reverse. They would have come back and they would have said, $600 and the noise is still there. Are you guys crazy?
Yeah.
So you have to, at the very least, you have to do that. If nothing else, these guys need feedback. They need to know, for the good of humanity, Lisa, that they made a mistake, because they're going to make that same mistake on the next 2,000 Passat that comes in. Thinking, well, we fixed that Lisa's car. We didn't think that was it, but we put it in, and that did it.
Yeah, see, the people in Seattle are more refined.
Refined and dignified.
Yeah.
And
the people in Cambridge are a bunch of animals.
Yeah. No. So I think at the very least, you have to go back there to tell them they didn't fix it. And they'll probably...
And suggest to them that it might be a vacuum leak.
And suggest to them that they do it for free.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Do you have a very large boyfriend that you could bring along just in case?
I mean, that would
never hurts, you know.
I'm married, actually.
Then bring your boyfriend. Anyway, Lisa, good luck. I'm sure these guys will fix it for you. They'll be embarrassed that they misdiagnosed it and charged you $600.
Okay.
Let us know your make out.
All right, thanks for everything. Right,
bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. Great. Who's this?
This is Molly Alexander. I'm from Elgin, Texas.
Elgin, where's that?
We're 20 miles east of Austin.
Is that spelled like the watch?
It is. It is.
Ah,
okay.
Well, I have a 2000...
Like Elgin Baylor that played for the Lakers.
Yeah. Our Lady and Lord Elgin from Scotland.
Oh, okay. There we go.
There you go.
So what's cooking?
They pronounce it incorrectly in Illinois.
Oh, so Elgin, Illinois is incorrect, Elgin Baylor is incorrect, and the Elgin Watch Company pronounces it.
All wrong. It's Elgin.
I suspected that all along.
Yeah.
All along. Well, I'm glad you straightened us out, Molly.
I know you guys are smart, so I figured you could get that one.
We got it. We're all over it. So what's going on?
Well, I have a 2000 Suzuki Vitara with 132,000 miles. And about 3 weeks ago, it was late one evening, and I was running on fumes, so I went to the gas station, and I filled up, and I saw the price, and I went, wow, it's $60. It's usually $50. And I looked at the price of the gas miles per gallon, I mean, the gasoline, and realized, holy cow, I put diesel into my car.
Oh.
It was awful.
Oh,
so I ran inside
sure
and said, what do I do? And he said, well, you have to drain your tank. And so I called a tow truck, and they took it to the gas station, and the next day, they drained the tank.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and so I drove away, $220 less in my pocket. But lo and behold, 3 weeks later, I'm getting better gas mileage.
Really?
By how much?
I get about a mile more per gallon. So instead of 24.5, I'm getting almost 26.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So what's interesting is my boyfriend said that he had heard a long time ago that you could put a quarter cup of diesel into your tank and you might get better fuel efficiency, that it might be good.
How many tanks full of gas have you purchased since the incident?
Three.
Three. And in each one, your mileage has gotten increasingly better?
Well, the first one, it got better, and I thought, well, this might be an anomaly.
What about the second tank full?
Same. And I didn't know if I don't have a drain on the gas tank, but they had to run it through the fuel filter.
Yeah, what they did was they energized the pump, and they used your pump. So they didn't take your tank out?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, because by not taking it out, you know, when you energize, if you send electricity to the fuel pump, which is in the tank, then you will, in fact, not get all the diesel out.
So you may still have some diesel in there.
Yeah, you may have diesel in there. And in diminishing amounts, obviously, because every tank of gasoline is diluting the amount of diesel that's in there.
So it actually may have a short-term impact, but not a long-term impact.
Well, right. I mean, so if that's the case, over time, you will notice that your mileage will revert back to where it was.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that this car, my mechanic always says there's bolts always falling out of it, falling off of it. And he thought, is this car made in Britain? He said, you know, old car, Britain's known for having bad bolts.
Bolts are falling. No. That may be the reason the mileage is going up. The car's getting lighter.
You know, that may actually be the key to it all. Is that it?
Well, here's what you do. See if it goes back down to 25. And if it does, go into the first gas station again and just stick the diesel nose in there and squeeze it once.
No.
Just a little shoop shoop.
When I wasn't listening, I was wait a minute, what's he telling you to do?
No, and then fill it up with gasoline. And then see if it goes up to 26 again.
Here's the chemistry part of the whole thing, okay? Diesel fuel does have more energy per volume. Okay, a gallon of diesel fuel has more hydrocarbons in it than a gallon of gasoline. It's denser. Okay, so there is some validity to the claim that mixing in some diesel with your gasoline will actually get you better mileage because you're getting more energy out of a gallon of diesel than you are out of a gallon of gasoline.
Right, but if it's a little bit of a diesel, it's a little increase.
Here's the problem. While it may increase your mileage to 25,
don't tell her the rest of it.
No, because
we're gonna do an experiment here. Don't tell her the rest of it. She doesn't have to know.
You might not have to know. All right, well, how many miles are on your car, Molly?
Well, there's 132,000.
It doesn't matter. I knew it.
My brother always said it was a throwaway car anyway.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of different reasons, environmental, concerns for your automobile's emission system, et cetera, you can't do this, you know, so we don't want to encourage anyone to do it.
But the
whole reason we have an emission system on the car is to keep the air as clean as we possibly can get it. And by doing this, you're probably negating the effect of 100,000 other vehicles whose tailpipe emissions are pretty clean.
Yeah, I'd have to actually plant a lot of trees, probably.
You have the Bigfoot carbon footprint now. Yeah,
it would throw me out of Austin. I'm sure you couldn't.
The Sierra Club people are probably at your door right now. So it'll be interesting to see when you finally have gotten all this diesel out of there if the mileage goes down.
Yeah, that will be interesting.
Yeah.
When you find out, call us and let us know.
It'll be interesting to see. Don't forget, you know, picking up a mile per gallon is no big deal. And it could be that you've just miscalculated. It's really hard to calculate with that kind of accuracy. If you said it had gone up 5 miles a gallon, we would already have hung up on you and dismissed you as just another nut job. So you had the right numbers, and that's why you managed to stay on the phone as long as you did. Anyway, Molly, it's been a pleasure.
It certainly has.
It's been delightful. You've made my day. I just love you guys. So thank you for taking my call.
Thanks. See you later. Bye-bye.
She was a lot of fun.
She was. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to
Me?
Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Agawam Boone's Farm, Eggplant Parm, Lucky Charm, Lobster Arm, Croque Madame, Latte No Carm, Four Alarm, Do No Harm, Weight Loss Farm, it's John Bugsy Lawler.
Wow.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Overnight. Our day-old seafood chef is Amelia Luce. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our director of quality control is Eamon Lowe. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to other members of the Elbow Patch crowd in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 819, along with Car Talk's audio collections, clothing, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, got a car question we didn't get to today?
Or one we did get to and you're still trying to get an answer?
Try it out on our online Car Talk community. Mechanically inclined people who hang around at our website helping fellow listeners solve car problems.
Probably giving the same wrong answers that we do. Hey, maybe you should try using it sometime.
Sometime? How do you think I got two answers right today? Post your questions through Car Talk's mechanical community anytime at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mother's Day celebrants everywhere mumble, "Thank God those two aren't mine," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.